Well, we are delighted to be with you this morning. Andres, myself, and our two kids, we really do feel like family with you. And thank you for walking with us through thick and thin. It is wonderful to be able to celebrate what God has been doing over the years. Some of you, as we come together and we realize what God is doing with the Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes and what God has done in Sri Lanka and is yet to do, we have this sense amongst us that we are part of something so much greater than we could define by our movement here. And we as an Alliance Church belong to a movement larger than ourselves, and we define ourselves with a vision prayer that says, "Oh God, with all of our hearts we long for you. Come transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused people making disciples everywhere." It's 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and I find myself outside the Elder Culver home that we've just heard about that Rosie started. It's there I gather with volunteers, and we wait to enter a home of 180 women. Today, we will just talk to 15 of these 180 women. Five of them will be in our muffin business, and 10 will be in our discipleship class today. But each of the 180 women need an encounter with the Father. They need to hear from Jesus. They need a class about a life skill. So together we have a devotional moment with everyone. And today our lesson is about service. So to strive that, we will wash one another's feet. We will have the leaders sit down on chairs and we will wash one another's feet to show how it is that we can serve one another. I'll just get you to hold on the photos for a second. Thank you so much for helping with that. It is here that we see that the women are called to serve Jesus Christ in their service for one another. And I see that among the women. I see that in Indira. She was up five times last night helping a woman who has some bed sores and doesn't have the ability to react. I see that in Trini, who woke up at 4 a.m. this morning to start the laundry, making sure that all these 180 women would have clean clothes. I see that in Ayeli as she spends an entire day helping people into the washroom and out. These women are extraordinary followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let me define to you what I mean when I say an extraordinary follower. I was recently challenged by my idea of prayer, of coming before the Father and talking to them to enter into extraordinary prayer. Not something that's lofty and only heroes do and we watch movies about. No, extraordinary meaning just do one more thing than is ordinary. So in our prayer life, that could be just add a day of fasting. Just spend an extra 5 minutes doing something out of the ordinary that is extraordinary. So when I talk about an extraordinary follower of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about someone who's willing just to do one more thing than is possible in their own strength and their own idea. Empowered by the Spirit, we can all be extraordinary followers of Jesus, just going one step beyond what we could possibly do in our own strength. I see that in Eldra Cover and our relationship with them. And I see it also in the Bible. I think that Acts, as you as a church are going through Acts, has many amazing examples of what it means to be an extraordinary follower. So we'll get the scripture up there in the next slide. Thank you so much. Oh, sorry, that's so small. That's my bad. So we're talking about a growing church with growing pains and a growing revelation of who God is. And this is what happens. Acts 11, verses 19 to 26 says, the word of the Lord. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Here we find a great example of extraordinary followers. You see, the people of God had believed a subtle lie over the years, that God was principally interested in just his people. And while God loves his people, God has an amazing heart for those who weren't included in this small group. If we go and look from the Old Testament, from Genesis through Revelation, we see a story of a God who's concerned for the widow, for the orphan, for the oppressed, and for the foreigner. Yes, the people beyond God's chosen people group. And so people are beginning to encounter God in a new way, and they realize that God wants them to go beyond themselves, taking one extra step and taking the message of God to the Greeks. They're extraordinary followers, just simply ready to do one more thing than is natural for them. as I see this passage, I'm challenged in my own life. It begs the question of, am I just willing to do one more thing for God? I have to admit that many times as I oversee justice and compassion ministries in Mexico City and the areas beyond there, I oftentimes think things like, oh, I should do this. If I don't do this, no one else will react, and it's a really difficult situation. But it weighs heavily on me. It's something that I call myself to do on my own strength. But as God invites us to take that one extra step, like he called his people to go to the Greeks here, we find ourselves empowered by the Spirit, and we can easily say, it wasn't me that did it. God did it through me. So is the story of an extraordinary disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. And the next slide continues to tell the story of how the gospel is spreading. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. As I read the story of Barnabas, TDAC, I think about you. I think about you as a Barnabas, as people who are willing to empower those who are on the front lines, those who are going one extra step to make sure that all people have the opportunity to embrace the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for being Barnabas, for standing with people and encouraging and telling them words like, adelante, go ahead, we encourage you to do more. Thank you for being a Barnabas in my life. And so is my ideal in life is to be a Barnabas, to encourage local leaders in Mexico to reach out beyond their communities so that many people know all of the gospel for all of the person. And I just have to include this last example too, because Barnabas is this generous and encouraging man, and he does this in verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The Greek verb for here for he went and sought out, or when he looked for Saul, actually means he hunted him down. It's not like he just showed up and there was Saul and he said, oh, you want to hang out and be my disciple for a year? No, he had to strategically look him out because he believed someone who was a least likely candidate to spread the gospel was someone the Spirit of God was upon, and he taught him and encouraged him to do that. These are extraordinary followers of Christ. So I would like to share with you a couple stories this morning about what God is doing, because people like yourself stand with me and Rafa and Paulina and Rosie and encourage us to go that one step beyond what is physically and emotionally possible for ourselves when the Spirit comes and empowers us. Do you remember in September when I asked you if you would join me in praying for a medical brigade we were planning? Remember I told you that as Braveheart Ministry, we work always giving the message of the hope of Jesus Christ, but we go into communities where there are many services are lacking, and we give educational help and medical help, always with that sharing Jesus Christ in those times. And unbeknownst to us, we had befriended an indigenous group and indigenous families in Mexico City who actually belong to a people group that's least reached. We weren't even being strategic. It just happened. And they invited us back to their community where we could see it's illegal to be a Christian here. In fact, we began to hear stories of how people, their houses were burned and how they were kicked out of the community when they decided to follow Jesus Christ. I asked you in just December if you would pray with me for a man named Jamie who was specifically opposed to the Christians. Well, let me tell you how that went. Last week, Braveheart went in with 30 doctors and about the same number of support staff to do a medical brigade. But the night before they were to leave, 2 days before they were to leave, they called the Braveheart director, Paulina, to come. The local authorities, a group of men, said, you mustn't come and present yourself to us before the doctors come up the mountain. Well, oftentimes when we make these trips in, we sense that there's a stronghold of fear up in the community, that people are afraid to leave their system and to follow Jesus Christ. They're afraid to oppose authority. There's a lot of fear that has a grip on that community. But sometimes we feel that on ourselves as we go in. We become fearful about things we aren't normally fearful about. And that's where we begin to engage in what we call spiritual warfare and calling the victory of Christ on that, but also being conscious that the enemy has territory there and we need to be light in that territory. Well, Paulina, the night before she goes in, she's a little bit afraid. Here she is, one woman, a whole group of men. She's got to talk to about the medical brigade. And she's telling the Lord, I'm fearful. She's praying. She falls asleep. And she has a dream. Paulina says to me, in my dream, I was very little. Little. Like tiny. And I could see these huge waves, like an ocean in front of me. And I stood, tiny little me, in front of that ocean. And I said, God, I can't open this ocean. I can't do it. And she began to see the ocean open up. And God said to her, Paulina, you are not going in alone. I have troops of people standing behind you and praying for you, and you are not alone. I will open doors that no one else can open, and you will watch and walk through them. So Paulina went up to meet with the authorities before a medical brigade, and they had closed off the highway. We realized they had closed the highway for 3 months. They weren't letting any NGOs or any government through, and they allowed us as a ministry to come in. And she went up the mountain, and they said to her, Paulina, we aren't going to let the medical brigade happen. But unbeknownst to them, the bus driver going to pick up the doctors hadn't heard that the medical brigade was ended. And he went and he picked up all the doctors that were still a day away. They came up the mountain and they had a medical brigade. God was with them. Thank you for being the people who stand behind Paulina's and pray for her that God would open doors that are totally impossible for us to open so that many people would have the wonderful message of Jesus Christ in their lives. You can go ahead with the photos now. Thank you so much. You're so gracious. So you just go ahead and do any photo you want there. This is some photos of what happens at the medical brigade. Paulina is our leader, the gal with the white skirt on there. As hundreds of people came to get medical attention over this last week, one special story stuck with me of what happened. Paulina told this to me last week. You see, there was a young dentist who was attending a woman who had a facial paralysis on half of her face. And since her husband had passed away 6 years ago, she had been unable to move that half of her face. She was depressed. She saw no reason to continue to live, and so therefore did not seek any medical help. But when the medical brigade came to her community, her children encouraged her, Mom, please go see a dentist. So the woman went, very depleted and depressed, and she was lying down getting a dentist to look at her. But the dentist had this experience where there was so much love building up in her heart, she couldn't contain it. And she said, I need to tell this woman a message. Can someone get me a translator? So they went to look for her daughter to come and translate. And the dentist said to this woman, you are beautiful. You are made in the image of the living God, and He delights in you. You're unique, and He has a purpose in your life that no other person in the history of humankind has had. He loves you. And she kept pouring out these messages of love over and over again. Well, the woman turned to her and said, started to smile and said, I don't need a translator. I actually speak Spanish, and I heard and understood everything you've been saying. Her daughter arrived at the door to translate for her and stood there aghast and said, my mom is smiling. No, that she wasn't able to use the side of her face for 6 years. She was beginning to smile again. She was aghast, thinking that something had happened to her mom. The love of Jesus had happened to her mom. So this woman walked away with light that was poked into her darkness, understanding that God had made her unique with a special purpose and that God's love could transform her. These are stories of extraordinary followers, of people who are willing to just take one more step when the Spirit asks them to. We won't see Hollywood movies about them, and we shouldn't put them on pedestals. But so is the message of Acts to us as well, that we would be people that would just be willing to take one more step for Jesus. Not in our own strength, but because the Spirit empowers us to do it. As I think and I'm challenged myself through this message and encourage you with it as well, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for giving, for sending, and for walking alongside of us that are on the front lines there. So may the Lord bless you, TDAC, in your own community as you go one step beyond what is normal and ordinary so that many people would know about Jesus Christ. I'd like to pray for you this morning as we do that. So this morning, as we come before you, recognizing what Jesus has done on the cross, recognizing that you came as a baby, recognizing that you touch every area of our life of grief, that you are the one that pokes holes of light in our darkness, that you open waves in overwhelming situations, and you make a way for us. As in the early church, Lord, that you called the people to go beyond themselves to share a message of Jesus' love and redemption and power and forgiveness out of their comfort zone, but in the Spirit. And we worship you. Because we believe this isn't a message about what we can do, but about who you are. So this morning, as part of our worship, we would recognize our limits. We get tired. We get emotionally burnt out. We feel stressed at Christmas time. And so what is possible for us, we would recognize that. And what is impossible for us. And then we would say, Spirit, come. Spirit, come, empower us so that we would do things that aren't in our own strength. So that we would be those extraordinary followers that just take one more step, doing something empowered by you because of what Christ has done. And I pray a special blessing on this group here today. Jesus, would you open their eyes to see the needs around them that you are already working, that you are calling them into? Would you give them great joy as they do so? Great depth in the peace that they have in you. And especially this group of people, as TDAC heads into Christmas, we pray that there would be a deep sense that Christ has come and Christ is with us. And we worship you, Jesus. Amen.